Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. Well, over the last 7 weeks, we've been in a series called Strong. And we're continuing that along today, as well as the Journey to the Promised Land series that we've been in all year. If you have a copy of the Bible, go ahead and open it up, whether it's paper or electronic. It doesn't matter as long as it's God's Word. And we'll be in Joshua chapter 8. And we'll be in the whole chapter really, but we're really going to read verses 1 through 19. And we'll paraphrase some, we'll look at some other bits, but that's where we'll be, Joshua chapter 8. And I wanted to take a second, though, and I wanted to review kind of where we've been in the previous 7 episodes of this series. So this is episode 8. And so we started off the series with a episode called Be. And we looked at, there was 2 things that God wanted us to be, and that's strong and courageous. God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to be strong and courageous because he's with us. And we talked about how Moses had heard that a little bit. Joshua had heard it because Moses had heard it. And then Joshua heard it a couple times for himself to be strong and courageous. And then we talked about how God wants us to be fearless. And we looked at this and we said that Satan wants to stop us. Satan wants any move of God to be stopped. But we saw this in Rahab's story when we looked at the first kind of look at Jericho. And Rahab said that everybody's scared to death of you. Because we saw what God did in the Red Sea. So everybody is scared of you. And we talked a little bit about that. And I want to look back here just a second. And yeah, and so it says that God is on our side, so we're unstoppable. And that's a reason for us to be fearless. We shouldn't live in fear because we've got God on our side. We win. I mean, we've seen the end of the story, right? We win. It doesn't matter. God is on our side. God will fight for us. And then we looked at a couple reminders and how we can be reminded about the things that God has done for us. And Israel crossed the Jordan River in a similar way that they crossed the Red Sea. And that God wanted them to put stones as reminders. And the Bible, when we looked at this story in Joshua 3 and 4, the Bible tells us, hey, this is what you can say to your children and their grandchildren. And you can retell this story. And we kind of talked about, where are our 12 stone reminders? Where are our 12 stone moments? Where do we remember how God has come through for us? Even though we didn't realize it then, but we realize it now. And then we talked about steps. We talked about taking that next step. Because the Israelites in Joshua chapter 3 and 4 was their big moment. That was the moment they had waited for. Right, that they crossed over into the Promised Land by crossing the Jordan River. But it took the faith of the priest to step into a raging river and believing that it was going to stop like God said. And then it was for Israel to cross and stepping through. So when they stepped into the Jordan, they stepped out of the Jordan into the Promised Land, and they stepped into the Promised Land. And we talked about how taking steps toward God, toward our dreams, toward our goals, all of that. We talk about taking those steps. And sometimes in that takes faith, which is why kind of like the subtitle for this is Strong and Courageous Faith. It takes that faith for us. And then we talked about creating space for God. Creating space so we can hear God, so we can talk to God, so God can talk back. And we shared briefly about that and how God is always speaking to us, but are we putting ourselves in a place where we can listen? And I called it our whispering spot, where we can hear God, because life is loud. There's lots of stuff always fighting for our attention, fighting for our ears, all the noise and all of that, and, you know, social media, and we got to find the truth, and we got to make sure all of this, it's all, God is just simply saying, hey, I'm here talking. And we looked at a brief little bit from Elijah's story and how God doesn't shout and all of that. God isn't in that noise. God is in a whisper. And we've got to make ourselves available for that. And how we saw how Joshua put himself in a place where he could hear what God wanted him to do in the Battle of Jericho. And then we talked about that. We talked about Jericho, the big moment. This was their first real battle. And this idea of this is these things that are coming after Israel reached the Promised Land, right? Like, we've been following this as Journey to the Promised Land. That's why the series is called that. And we're kind of using that as our dreams and our goals. It's kind of like a working kind of idea for the series. The Israelites were going to the Promised Land. That was their goal. That was their dream. That was their vision. And we all have those. And we're kind of using this, but they reached that. But just because you reach the Promised Land, right, doesn't mean that the battles are over. See, they had to take the Promised Land. They stepped into the Promised Land, but it wasn't the way God wanted them to have it. And so they needed to take the Promised Land. So that means that there had to be some battles. There was still work to be done. And I've said in this series already that there's times where we reach a goal, and that doesn't mean we can just stop. Like, we reach a financial goal or a career goal or whatever, and we just, oh, that's it. Good, I made it. We stop, and there's no more work to be done. No, there's always work to be done. And this was the first big test, the Battle of Jericho. And we talked about how God's got great things for us, but we stop short sometimes. If Israel would have stopped on day 4 or 5 because they were tired or whatever, they wouldn't have saw what God was going to do. And sometimes we're right on the brink, right on the edge of something God's going to do for us, but we stop short, and that blessing's right around the corner. But we stop short, or we go a different way. So the encouragement for that was, don't stop short. Keep going. Keep taking those steps toward what God has for us. Keep going with God. Don't leave him behind. And then we talked about choices last week, and it was kind of difficult to talk about. But we talked about how we need to be careful of our choices because they affect other people. And Achan made a choice, and it affected the entire nation of Israel. It didn't affect just him. It didn't affect just his family. It affected everybody. So we got to be careful with our choices, and choices are sacred. And we that's something that my pastor of my church says, and they say it often. And we talked about Adam and Eve, and we talked about Abraham and some of the choices that were made. We talked about Noah and how his choice was to do what God said and to follow all of God's instructions, and he was saved from the flood. And Adam and Eve made a choice that caused that fractured the entire world. So it wasn't just them that was affected by it. So as we continue on into chapter 8, now it's time to go and battle Ai again. And this is what it says. So basically, they fixed it, right? They took care of the problem, and this is what God said to Joshua. Verse 1, Joshua chapter 8, and it says, "Don't be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroy Jericho and its king. But this time, you may keep the plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town." So it was a little bit different. This time they could take, right? This time there wasn't, it's almost like God was like, look, I'm going to give you Jericho, but I want you to give some, like, and they didn't do it. And I think that God's like, oh, now you can take from this one. And so Joshua, verse 3, Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 300,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night with these orders. Hide in an ambush close behind the town and be ready for action. When our main army attacks, the men of Ai will come out and fight as they did before, and we will run away from them. We will let them chase us until we have drawn them away from the town, for they will say the Israelites are running away from us as they did before. Then while we are running from them, you will jump out from your ambush and take possession of the town, for the Lord your God will give it to you. Set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded. You have your orders. Verse 9, so they left and went to the place of ambush between Bethel and Ai, in the west side of Ai. But Joshua remained among the people in the camp that night. Early the next morning, Joshua roused his men and started toward Ai, accompanied by the elders of Israel. All the fighting men who were with Joshua marched in front of the town. Marched in front of the town and camped on the north side of Ai, a valley between them and the town. That night, Joshua sent about 5,000 men to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of town. So they stationed the main army north of the town in an ambush west of the town, and Joshua spent that night in the valley. When the king of Ai saw the Israelites across the valley, he and his whole army hurried out early in the morning and attacked the Israelites at the place overlooking the Jordan Valley. But he didn't realize that there was an ambush behind the town. Joshua and the Israelite army fled toward the wilderness as though they were badly beaten. Then all the men in the town were called out to chase after them. In this way, they lured them from the town. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not chase after the Israelites, and the town was left wide open. Verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua, Point the spear in your hand toward Ai, for I will give the town over to you. Joshua did as he commanded, and as soon as Joshua gave the signal, all the men in ambush jumped from their positions and poured into town. They quickly captured it and set it on fire. And then the rest of the story. So God basically said what was going to happen, and all he had to do was follow the instructions. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But the rest of the story is they were way out there, and once they realized that it was a trap, the men of Ai looked back, saw their city on fire. They tried to go back, but the men that were in the town that had set the ambush came back out, and basically the men of Ai were surrounded, and not one of them survived, and no one in Ai survived, and it was just a big, big thing. And actually, sorry, the only person that was left alive was the king, and he was brought to Joshua, and Joshua took care of him. So it's kind of like, well, this is a wild story, and these battle stories in the Bible are really interesting to read, right? Because all this like high level of violence and stuff like that. But this was God giving the people what he said they were going to have. But the thing is like he wanted them to go in and take care of everybody so that they could be the people of God, so they could be the nation that God wanted them to be without any other influence from anybody else. This is what God had for them. And that's kind of what happens with Leviticus, like all those rules and all of those. God wants his people to be different. And so what I see in this, though, is I see that God tells us how to do battle. God shows us the way to do battle by not just giving us minimal instructions or anything like that. He tells us how to do it. He told them to set an ambush, that he was giving them the town. God spelled it out for them. God told them exactly how to do it. And God does the same for us. God tells us how to do battle. God tells us how to fight our battles. God tells us how to do it. Because he's with us and he's for us. He's not trying to keep it a secret. And a lot of that is at the end here in verse 31, where he said he follows all the commands that Moses, the Lord's servant, had written in the book of instruction. He's signifying the Bible. It was, at that point, it was just like the Ten Commandments. It was what Moses had gotten from God on Mount Sinai that had been restated to the people by Moses in the wilderness after a generation died off and it cycled back around to the new people. That's why Deuteronomy has the Ten Commandments in it again and some of the other instructions that God had given the people at Mount Sinai. And God will tell us how to do battle. Sometimes maybe we don't want to hear what God has to say, or we don't want to like include God in what we know and what we want to know, or how we want to handle ourselves. And one of the stories we talked about it recently comes up is Noah. One of the great references of that is God told Noah exactly what to do. And that's even seen more there than it is here. God said they were going to take the town. God might have given some other kind of instructions. Joshua might have thought of this ambush thing all on his own. But God said they were going to win. God told them how to do the battle with Jericho. Right? March around the city. Just do what I say. You know, and Noah. When Noah came in, God gave him explicit instructions as well. Build a boat this high, this long, this wide. Do this, this, this. Put this door on it. Put this window in it. Take this, all of this stuff. God tells us how to do battle. God doesn't want us out in the dark. God doesn't want us alone. God wants to fight with us and for us. So if he's with us and for us, why would he do it any other way? Why would he not tell us how to do things? If he's going to go with us, why would he not tell us how to do it? He tells us how to do it in the Bible. You know, there's the book of Proverbs is one good area where he gives little words of wisdom. They were written by Solomon, but God gave Solomon his wisdom. And there's little one-liners in there. As you get to chapter 10 of Proverbs and on, you know, hey, a chillful heart does this, or a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, you know. And then before chapter 10, it's a more kind of like the rest of the Bible is written, more paragraphs and stuff like that. But that's got good information in it as well. And, you know, there's the, even now, like the Gospels, how would Jesus handle situations? Well, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will find out how Jesus handles things like that. God tells us and he shows us how to fight our battles. We did a series a couple years ago back in 2021 called How to Fight Your Battle. And we used, that was more how we can use worship as a weapon to fight different things. How worship kind of tunes in our minds and our focus on Jesus, and we can see how to fight our battles. So you can check that series out in the archive. It's available at thepointoffocus.com, and you can go check all of that out. And when I think about stuff like that, but we can also fight our battles by finding a whispering spot, by just listening to what God has to say, by trying with the best that we can to take steps with God and toward God and in the plans that he has for us. Because he doesn't want us to be destroyed. He doesn't want us to have problems. He doesn't want any of this stuff for us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to have life to the full. He wants us to prosper. That's what God had for Israel. That's what God had for anybody following Israel. That's what God has for us. And God just wants what's best for us. But as we saw last week and we saw this week, it's a two different dynamic. As we saw at the beginning of the Garden of Eden, as we saw with Noah, as we saw with Cain and Abel, as we saw with Abraham, as we saw with Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Moses and all these different people, we've seen this one element come through. It's this idea of choice. It's this idea to choose what we know. Well, God says we should do it this way and I can have success, right? Joshua chapter 1. Let's go back. Give me just a second to look that up. I want to read Joshua chapter 1. We started off the series this way. And it started in verse 5. And it says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to with their ancestors that I would give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do." Verse 8, though, "Study the book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." Now, that's a loaded thing, and we talked about it way back at the beginning, but be strong and courageous. But we have to know what the Bible says. You can be successful. Don't get me wrong. There are lots of people that are successful. But what kind of success is God describing here when he says, "Study this book of instructions. Be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." What does that mean about success? Yeah, we can be successful. Yeah, we can achieve our goals with or without God. But is that the level of success that we could experience? Or is there more for us to experience if we do things with God and how God has for us? Could Israel have won the battles? Like, could they have defeated Jericho by doing things different than what God had said? The short answer is no. But yeah, maybe they could have. They could have had success. They could have eventually probably beat Jericho. But they did it with God, and they did it God's way, and they were able to have success, and they were able to prosper. And God wants the same for us. And I am by no means saying that Israel would have succeeded in anything without God, because I think that's the point of these stories, is that they did what God wanted and they succeeded. If they didn't, they wouldn't have, because Achan stole from what God wanted. Achan stole from what God said not to take. He stole from Jericho, and they didn't beat Ai. And then when they got that all rectified and they got that all fixed, then they destroyed Ai. So, don't get me wrong, but I'm wondering if there's a different level of success for all of us if we go with what God has. I wonder if there's a different kind of peace or joy or like satisfaction with life, a different kind of success if we just look and we see, especially like with Jesus, with the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we just see the way Jesus handled things. And we look at that, we use that as our book of instructions, not discrediting the rest of the Bible. Please don't misunderstand that. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is our Savior and who we follow. What did he do? How did he handle these things? How did he be successful? And I think that opens up a whole new world for us of success and what it means and satisfaction in life. And like I said, joy and peace and all of that. And so I think that God has a battle plan for us already. We just have to find out what that is, and we have to lean into it, and we have to go with it. We can't deviate from it. We can't wind up on the 40-yard line and wonder why nothing's happening when everything else is going on the 20-yard line on the other end of the field. But because we've deviated from the path, and our success is over there, and what God has for us is over there, and we're standing on the 40-yard line mad because, well, what happened? Why am I not successful as that person or this? Well, they're over there where God, in what God has for them, and we're over here because we got distracted or we wanted to try things our way. You know, I've said it before. What about Abraham, right? We talked about Abraham, and we looked at how he took matters into his own hands, and he went a different way, and he got over there, and he was frustrated and mad because, well, this is what, but that's not what God wanted. He was over two or three lanes from where God wanted him because he didn't have faith and trust in God. And that's what's big here, is this faith and trust that God will do what he says, and that God will see us through, and that God will be there for us, and that God will fight for us, and that God is everything that he says. That God will help us. That God tells us how to handle things. It's all in the Bible. Whether you read the entire thing, whether you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whether you look at different things, whether you do a devotional or parts of the Bible app or whatever it is that you do, as long as you're looking at the book of instruction, right? As long as you're meditating on it and you're figuring out that God's word matters and that it will help us, because that's what God says here in Joshua. And he says, study this book of instructions. Back then, like I said, that was just the Ten Commandments and whatever other part of the Old Testament that Moses might have written down. But now, translate this forward. Study this book of instructions. Study your Bible is what God has for us this week, is what God has for us in life. That's how we fight our battles. We bring God in and we let him fight with us and for us. Doesn't mean we sit back and do all the work. God, I mean, that's clear in the Battle of Jericho and Ai. Israel didn't just go, okay, God, snap your fingers and Jericho will melt to the ground. That's not what happened. They had to participate. They had to fight with God. So that's my encouragement this week. Get into the Bible. See what God says about fighting our battles. Fighting our struggles, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what Jesus has for us. But we can find a lot of good stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you've been with us for any majority of this series, The Journey to the Promised Land, we found a lot of good stuff in this idea of faith and this idea of just watching how Israel journeyed to the Promised Lands, the ups and down and all that stuff that they've had. So get into the Bible, see what God's battle plan is for you. That's where you'll find how to fight your battles. You can also check out that series at thepointoffocus.com. It was called How to Fight Your Battles. We did it in February of 2021, if that helps you as well, to kind of see how worship and how music can help you do that. Because worship is a weapon, and it puts our faith and our trust back in Jesus, and it focuses us that way, and we can just power through some of the stuff. And there's all sorts of battles. It's not just financial battles, marriage battles, it's mental battles, it's all sorts of things that we fight, because the Bible also tells us that we wrestle against these higher things. It's not just flesh and blood, but we wrestle against all this other stuff, which is why we're supposed to be strong in the Lord, because we can't do it by ourselves. So I encourage you, check out that series that we did a couple years ago. Check out the Bible. It will help. So I will see you next week.